chapter 21. I want to look at a similar text in Mark chapter 11. The title of the message this morning is You Cannot Afford to Doubt. You can't afford to doubt. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21. Look with me at the 18th verse. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now let's look at another rendering of this same incident in Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now go with me to one more text in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 22 and 23. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, what does that mean, have it to thyself before God? In other words, you've got to have faith in yourself before God, a confidence in the work that God has done in you before God. Not just an outward faith, but an inward faith. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of this message. We thank you that you have chosen to speak with us again on this Sunday morning. We pray that you'd galvanize these truths to our heart. We pray, Father, that you'd speak as you would in this hour. Pray that you'd move upon us by the power of the Holy Ghost, upon every hearing ear. Blessed those who have ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. We'll thank you for it. Give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, we'll read here for just a moment. Grace and peace be multiplied is how our writer begins, unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's powerful. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Saints, this scripture, many others, would tell us everything we have need of is contained within the power of this divine life. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is contained in this divine life. Everything. There's nothing excluded that you and I as people of God have need of that is not contained here. Jesus tells his disciples, in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Paul admonishes the church at Corinth. Look at, begin with me, 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Saints, this tells us something about the world that we're dealing in. Amen. We're in a world that is in tribulation and in turmoil. We're living in a world of affliction. We realize we're in such a place. You're in a world that you're not of as a child of God. Everything in this world wants to expel you out of it. Amen. Wants nothing with you. You're going to serve God. Wants nothing of Christ. Therefore, it wants nothing of Christ. We're in a world we're not of. Wants nothing to do with you. It is the device of the God of this world to seize every occasion to attack your faculty for faith and hope. Now, you hear me? We're going to deal with this for a little while. It is the desire of the God of this world to use every occasion to attack your faculty for faith and hope. To bring such pressures as to weigh down through much weight and despair. I'm going to save a lot of time about talking about the day-to-day. I'm going to bring us to the threshold of those moments in time in your life when the enemy comes to weigh thoroughly against your soul. You've been built up through use of the Scripture. You've been built up to presenting yourself in the sanctuary, surrounded by the Spirit of the move of God there. Built up through the altar. Strengthened yourself in the worship closet. Sought God in that holy place. Strong in that. Well, saints, it is the device of the adversary through oppression, through circumstances, whatever thing imaginable and given opportunity for him to weigh you down so thoroughly as to press beyond your strength through any occasion that can be found to weigh down you so much through much weight to move you beyond the place of strength so that you move past your ability to maintain faith and hope and charitableness. To weigh you down so thoroughly is the device of the adversary. It is the ongoing desire that he should do so. The choice, now I want you to mark this in your mind this morning. When you come to these moments in your life, here you are faced with insurmountable odds. You're faced with opposition beyond strength. There were times when Paul would speak of such moments in his life. Pressed. We're pressed beyond strength, past hope. That is the desire and the device of the adversary to bring you to that place. I tell you again, you cannot afford to doubt. You cannot afford to doubt. It is the desire of the adversary to bring you to that place. Mark this down in your mind. The choice to doubt is based on this premise. Will I believe Satan's truth or will I believe God's truth? Hear me, church. The choice to doubt is based on this premise. Will I believe Satan's truth or will I believe God's truth? I didn't say Satan's lie. I said Satan's truth. The Bible said it's no doubt that he can transform himself into an angel of light. So what he presents to you is not a lie, but Satan's truth. Come on, church. He is a liar and the father of every lie. And though he encapsulated in what he would call truth and seed into our mind as being truth, it is an altogether lie. And the choice to doubt is based on the premise, which one am I going to believe? Will I believe Satan's truth? Will I believe what is feeding into my mind and into my thoughts? And don't think he won't go so far as to use Scripture. He would use and twist the words of God in the garden to encapsulate his thoughts upon that mind of Eve. He will also use Scripture against you. He will go that far. If he'll usurp God's throne, he'll usurp it upon any ground that he can find. He did so in the garden. He's working now even in the midst of the earth. You and I come to this place in time when we're pressed beyond measure, beyond the ability to hold up. He wants to put such weight upon you to draw you to the place where you're going to accept one or the other truth. In your mind comes here, this is not going to work. It's not going to happen. God's forgotten about me. This scripture isn't for me. All of these things come to display themselves upon that mind. Everything come. This is going to happen to me. This will take place because of that. All of these thoughts begin to weigh inside. Inside that mind, the pressure of that mind, you're trying to hold up in faith. You're trying to maintain the purpose of God's divine life within yourself. You're trying to maintain strength, but this weight of despair, the enemy's come to weigh you down. You're trying to hold up against this persistent pressure. Now, saints, when you're holding such weight upon your life, it's in that moment that an opportunity for choice is always presented. It is in that moment whether we will fall prey to the demise of doubt or will go on in faith is based upon this premise. Am I going to believe Satan's lie or am I going to believe, Satan's truth or am I going to believe God's truth? Because in that moment, everything appears to be true. Come on, church. Everything appears to be true, no matter who's telling it. Satan come to you, tell it's going to be this way, that's the truth. God comes to offer this, that's the truth. Which truth do you believe? Church, Satan's truth and God's truth, you've got to look at the final entry. What is the bottom line of that? Where does it end? Everything Satan tells you comes to deteriorate that soul. It comes to condemn and to draw down and to separate, comes to remove. Anything inside of you that says God's not told you the truth, what he said's not going to come to pass. These promises are not for you. What you thought's not right. What you prayed in the altar's not going to happen. That appears to be true at that time. You see all of the signs of that. And Satan points to those signs. Hey, hath God said? There's that tree. All of that. God knows you'll be as him. All of that. He comes to point at those signs. You see that. You can look around. He always displays those things that have potential reality in them and points his finger at them. Saints, there are times he'll appointed people who are examples in the church that you've upheld in your mind. You may not know all of the details of that life, but he comes to point at those things hiding within the shadow of their reality, other things. He doesn't reveal at that time because he'll come in your most desperate hour to set you up. Come on, saints. All of these appear to be truth, and he points at them. Always displays for us those things. Church, can I tell you, there's always potential in life, one way or the other. You can either go over or you can drown. Now, Moses and the children of Israel could have died there at the banks of the Red Sea. That was the truth. But that was Satan's truth. Come on, saints. You hear me? That was Satan's truth. The people had bought into that, but Moses had not. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because that was God's truth. And God's truth brought them on the other side. Satan's truth would either have destroyed them or took them back captive. And you've got to choose which one you're going to follow. At any time in life, you're set up with a choice. When Satan comes to weigh you down, saints, it's not because he's trying to wear out your day. It's because he wants you to make a choice spiritually. Come on. He wants you to make a choice. He casts these things before you and offers you his truth. Now, you've got to make up your mind which one you're going to choose. Anything that would bring your thoughts away from the purpose that God has established in you, you've got to recognize that's Satan's device and not God's. Amen. His word to you, first of all, is peaceable. It's pure. It's easily entreated. God has a manner. No matter whether God's speaking to you in good times or he's speaking to you in bad times, he has the same character. He does not cease to be who is, no matter what your circumstance is. Come on, church. Satan is a chameleon. He will change himself according to the environment. He'll be whatever he needs to be. You know, in time of political office, men will say whatever they need to say to obtain that office. Where do you think they learned that? Come on, church. I said, where do you think they learned that? Hear me. It is the device of the adversary to say what can be displayed upon that mind. If you're of a strong nature to believe along a strong thing, Satan will manipulate those thoughts along that line. If you're of a weakened mind, he'll use other displays to capture those thoughts. But no matter what, in a time of crisis, when you don't know what to do, have you ever been to a place where you wanted to throw in the towel? Have you ever been to a place that you despaired of life? You say, I'd rather go on. I'd rather cut out here now. I can't make it another step. I'm about to lose my mind. If I make it through this, I'll be half the person I started. Come on. Ever been to that place? I mean, the manipulation of your thoughts. You're pressed beyond measure. You'd say, Pastor, I don't believe any Christian could ever get there. You hadn't served God long enough. You go tell that to Job. I don't have to tell you about this. You just go, it's one man, my friend Job. Come on, science. A place you're pressed beyond measure. Paul come to that place. He had pressures on the outside, problems on the inside. Come to that despairing of life. Moses struck the rock because he's in such despair over the continual griping, moaning, complaining, and bellyaching at the people at his back. The Bible said of Lot, his soul was vexed by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Come to that place. Saints, in that moment, you're going to have to make a choice as to who is telling the real truth. Amen. Who's telling the real truth? Is that which is being fed into your mind, would it lead you to believe that God is not your friend? That God has forgotten about you? That God doesn't care about you anymore? That he's only good to you when things are going well in your life? All of these foolish displays, the enemy will come to sow as a truth in that mind. He places you at a choice. Satan always comes within that effort. He came to Eve from that position. He didn't make a statement. He asked a question, which is to lead that mind into a place of choice. He led that mind to a choice, and then he fed that. I remember several years ago when they had that laughing revival that came through. I remember we were pastoring in Sulphur Springs, Texas, and we had gone to Mesquite. I don't know if we were Christmas shopping or what it was, and we had come back through Rockwall, where that large church was. I forget the name of the church at the time, but they were having that laughing revival. And I said to my wife, I said, honey, you want to go and check this out? And so we decided to do that. So we slipped in, and the evangelist there was the well-known evangelist that was involved in that mess called a laughing revival. And so we come in and sit down. Well, I'm watching that crowd up there, and I mean, you'd think we was down at the circus, and the ringmaster was down there working his wiles on the people, and he would begin to make a statement. And I remember he making the statement, your brimming cup is flowing over. He kept pushing that, and as the emotions of the people rise, he kept pushing it. He knew what to do. He could manipulate that crowd. And I'd watch people. They're just laughing their heads off. They were calling God what I'd call down. Come on, saints. I mean, this laughing thing, God wasn't 100 miles of the place. Matter of fact, he circumvented it. God did show up, but it wasn't a bless. Come on. Here we were in that place. In that time, he comes in those manners of deception to sow himself in those times. In those things, man can contrive within his mind all of these things upon foolish displays. Hear me, church. In those times when the enemy comes to solicit from you a choice, you've got to make up your mind. In that time, who's telling the truth? Is it God or is it the devil? In science, the truth ought to come from God. But it's not the author that you're choosing in that moment. It's the truth that you've got to make a choice on. Because truth in the heart of the Christian always says it comes from God. But not if the offering is coming from Satan. Hear me, saints. What's placed on the table is truth, because God is the way, the truth, and the life. And if the envelope says truth, it says to the child of God, it must be from God. But not if it's authored from hell. Saints, in that moment, you're not making a choice on the author. You're making a choice on that truth. Come on. And when he's got you so weighed down by your circumstance, whatever you're dealing with, you're placed in a choice. What truth are you going to accept? Will it be that which is truly authored by God, or that which comes from Satan? The desire is to press you beyond natural until it affects you spiritually. You're not in near as much danger until we allow it to affect us at this stage. Saints, you know, to mess up that day is one thing, but to mess up that spirit is another. That's the desire of the adversary. He wants to strike as close to the garden as he can. He wants to strike as close to the central location of God as he can assault. He takes Christ to the place of life and death, and he sets up a cross there. He thinks it's his, but God owns it. Amen. There's more vertical to the cross than there is horizontal. Amen. Everything looks up. Come on, church. Amen. It's at the cross. That's the great final work of the adversary in his own mind. But it is the ultimate final reality in the mind of God. It is there that Satan wants to strike that central thing in your life. There, he desires that you'd make a choice. You know, you've made a choice today that you're not going to cuss. Cuss word comes in the mind, you pass it off. That's one thing. You've made a choice that you weren't going to engage yourself in unwholesome recreation. That's one thing. The opportunity to speak unkindly about a neighbor or a friend or someone else, the opportunity comes and you dismiss that. That's one thing. But Satan has not given up on his devices. Many times we feel like because we've made positive choices in areas of our life, then we're simply given to positive choices, and we will make positive and godly choices when the time comes. But can I tell you this morning, there is a truth in that, but there is also a potential. And anytime there is a potential, saints, you got a choice to make. You hear me? You got a choice to make. The enemy will weigh himself. I remember when we were involved in weightlifting class in school. Many times, especially when it came to testing, there are times when you'd test, and if you thought that weight was in your scope of reaching, you'd go ahead and test there. But if you felt like the bar was too small, then you would wait through a series, maybe of two or three tests at a time, and wait onto a much larger weight because you didn't want to give out too soon. And so at times it maybe come to a certain point, you dismiss it, oh, I'm going to wait. And if you didn't weigh the big bar and you didn't lift it, you wouldn't have a score at all. But you had to realize that you wanted your ultimate strength to be when the test really counted. And saints, there are times when Satan will just bypass, let you make choices because they're of little concern eternally. Let you make choices. And many times, saints, we can even develop a pride that can set up in us because we're apt to make right choices. But sometimes, saints, he circumvented all of that to lead us into the big display, the real choice that matters eternally. Now, he comes to weigh against that soul. He's weighing them. That weight has begun to press us down. Everything's been removed out of the way. Now the voice has been set. He begins to speak these words into our thinking. They come to us. After all, I'm a Christian. And he who's speaking on the inside ought to be God. I walk and talk with him. He reveals himself to me in a daily way. It ought to be God. But saints, the truth that's being offered may not be God at all. It may be the truth of the adversary. We've got a way now. Where does this end? What will it accomplish in that life? He comes to weigh not on a natural scale, but upon spiritual. He comes to that place because if he can affect you and I spiritually, saints, he'll leave a stain behind there. He can imprison us within our own spiritual walk there on a choice that was made upon truth that was not God. My God, you must keep the high ground. I said you must keep the high ground. When you and I begin to accept truths that cause us to take low ground, he establishes a position in our lives. He comes to us from a position now of authority. He comes to weigh against the child of God. Can I tell you, as a Christian, Satan can come so thoroughly against you as to weigh you down, as to break your spirit, to come to the place where you have not backslidden against God, but you have accepted the truth of Satan. Now when he comes to you, he doesn't come as an enemy, he comes as an authority. Hear me, saints. Now he has convinced you of certain things in your own spiritual walk. You are convinced spiritually of things. Why? Because, saints, we fell prey to doubt. We fell prey to doubt. When doubt begins to seize that mind, but when doubt begins to seize and take hold of that spirit, amen, it gets its clutches on that spirit. That's what Satan wants. He's got a man on the inside. He's got something that can deteriorate on the inside. That's why you cannot afford to doubt. You cannot afford to allow doubt to seize on that spirit. You've got to keep, you may be pounced upon by the adversary, you maybe go through World War III, but at the end of the day, you've got to seize that high ground, amen. You've got to seize that high ground. When you do, saints, when you do, Satan will continue to be an adversary, but he won't hold a position of authority. Hear me, church. You will fight another day. You'll live to fight another day. You'll have to fight the adversary another day. You'll go through circumstances in your life. But when you fall prey to a choice that says, I'm going to believe Satan's truth over God's truth, he's going to take the higher ground in your life. You'll see yourself, the choices you now make are upon the line of his truth. Amen. It's going to lead you. This is the truth as I know it. That I know it's going to get you in trouble. Because the choice has set your reality. You hear me this morning. Your choice has set your reality. Now your truth isn't God's. It's what you've conceived. Amen. And accept it now. He's taken that high ground in our life. We're going to believe God for less than we've ever believed God for. We're going to see less than we've ever seen before. We're going to see a distorted world. We're not backslidden before God, but we've lost a sense of faith in our life. Satan has now set up an opportunity within us. We've opened a cavity of our spirit to him. Now as you're going to begin to sift from that, what he takes away, he'll replace with something else. He begins to deteriorate from the inside until saints were nothing but an empty hole full of dead men's bones. Hear me, church, you cannot afford to allow doubt to seize your spirit. If you believe it this morning, can you say amen? You must keep that high ground. No matter what you do, you've got to keep that high ground. You cannot make excuse for yourself, say, God, I'm worn out. Therefore, I'm just going to throw this thing into neutral. Let it be what it's going to be. I'm telling you, saints, Satan will take that vehicle from you and he'll drive it for you. Come on, saints. You've got to keep that high ground. You can't just bend. Many people in church, saints, have come to an exhausting place in their life where they just gave up, threw their life into neutral. And the enemy has come to seize territory. Hear me say, you cannot afford to doubt. At the end of the day, you've got to take the high ground. Because there will be moments you'll face a Ziklag moment. You hear me? You will face Ziklag moments. David faced them when they burned Ziklag to the ground. Everything was gone. Wives, children, everything was gone. They came to steal it all. Amalekites just stole it and took it away. You're going to have Ziklag moments. If you don't have Ziklag moments, then the value of your life may not be to the place we've conceived it is. If you walk with God at a place, Satan's going to test you with a Ziklag moment. You're going to have times. You're pressed. They'd wept until they had no more power to weep. They were exhausted beyond despair. There's no more power to weep left in them. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If there ever was a man who had an opportunity to fall prey to doubt and fear, David had it. How about Job? Come on, saints. How about Job? If any man had a right, if he could conceive a right to lose faith, it could have been Job. David at Ziklag. You can be faced with such moments in your life, but I say again, you've got to, by the end of the day, you've got to possess that high ground. You cannot afford to fall prey to doubt. And saints, these men didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost, but encouraged themselves in the Lord their God. You and I have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the power of God resident with on the inside. There's nothing impossible with God. You believe it this morning. I said there's nothing impossible with God. What Satan would offer to you is the truth. This is what you're going back to Egypt, or you're going to drown in this Red Sea. You can know God's truth and say you're going to come over on dry ground. I don't know, King, whether we're going to burn or not, but we know this, we're not going to bow. And we're going to let God's truth speak rather than your own. Satan's truth will lead you away. God's truth will lead you on. David encourages himself in the Lord his God. You must obtain the high ground. The high ground. Pastor, I don't know what the high ground is. It is that ground that says, I'm going to make it. You've traveled 10 miles and you've slipped and slid all the way. Satan says, you're just going to slide again. But saints, you've gone 10 miles. Come on. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you've gone 10 miles. Enemy wants to tell you about all the battles you've gone through for 10 miles. Well, tell him how far you've gone. I've come 10 miles. Amen. Slipping and sliding all the way. I've still come 10 miles. My God, saints, God can bring you where you cannot go yourself. Amen. And the truth of God at the conclusion of the thing is everything God promised it should be. Anytime a truth is displayed in your life that is an alternate to God's plan, you can know that Satan Satan's truth and not God's. Amen. Which equates itself to a lie. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Process that thing. You may be down in a hole, but don't let it so get a hold of your spirit. It's broken through your natural self. You're weeping tears of despair, but in your spirit you're holding on. My God, at some point there, begin to fan that flame. At first, begin to lift a hand, maybe a quivering hand. Lift it up anyhow. It may be a wavering song. Sing it anyhow. It may just be a piece of scripture. Quote it anyhow. My God. And at the end of the day, possess the higher ground, because child of God, you cannot afford to doubt. Manda the syllable, the sutalabakai, bidribetelebiyalabokosata. Stand with me across the room. Hallelujah. Oh, great God. Lift your hands with me this morning, saints. My God, we worship you. Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for which you are due. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I challenge you this morning, saint of God, whose truth will you believe? That is a choice of where you're going to live. My God. As we're closed in with the Lord across this room, ask my wife to come to the end as you and I are shut in with God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your intention is to work something out good in your church, to establish your people upon high ground. The enemy comes to seize that in that traverse from where we are to where you're taking us, and to cut us off from that potential opportunity. Lord God, help us, God, to choose the choice, make the choice for the truth that proceeds from God. You speak like none other speaks. You are the authority. You are the true reality. You are the genuine. Oh, my God Almighty. Satan's truth will always lead to the lie that it truly is. Always lead us away from God and away from God's purpose. To try to convince us that what God said wasn't what God said, wasn't what God meant, or what God is going to do. It is to attack those three essentials of our life: faith, hope, and charity. My God, that truth always comes to attack that. It shows us the world. It doesn't show us heaven. It shows us of the reality of the things that are about us, but it cannot give us the full end of the story, because you own the full end when we accept your truth. Moses could accept Satan's truth. Look, Moses, you see that army behind you? You see that sea in front of you? And how are you going to escape with all these mountains around you? That was Satan's truth. And it's bound by fact. Saints, if Moses would accept Satan's truth, they'd have died right there. But accepted God's truth. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What God said, I don't know. Saints, I don't remember God saying to Moses, when you come out of Egypt, come to the Red Sea, I'm going to open it up for you. You're going to walk on the dry ground. But I do remember God saying, I'm going to bring you out of this land into a good land and a large land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you out for a few days and then take you back. So as far as Moses was concerned, there's no place to go back. We can't go left or right. The only thing is before us. Now we're going to have to see what God's going to do. Something inside of him began to say, Moses, stretch your staff out across the sea and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In that moment, saints, the people are going to have to make up their mind. Whose truth are they going to accept? Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Lift your hands with me across this room as we're shut in with God. Father, we glorify your name in this house this morning. My God, I pray, Father, in this place, there are occasions in time, there may be those in this room this morning dealing with such moments in time when the enemy comes to weigh himself against that lie, to press down beyond the ability of this natural man to hold him up, broken through our strengths, broken through God Almighty, now pressed us into that spirit. Now we're faced with a choice. To alleviate this situation demands a choice. But who are we going to choose? What truth are we going to accept? Is it that truth that comes from Satan or that which comes from God? We've got to accept the truth upon the lines of truth. Amen. that which leads toward God, that which maintains the promise that God has said is God. That which takes away ultimately comes from Satan. My God, I cannot afford to doubt God. I cannot afford to allow doubt to seize a hold of my spirit. I cannot afford to allow these circumstances to take me away from my ability to believe God. I cannot afford to get bitter at God. I cannot afford to get mad at God. I cannot afford to get mad at the church or the people. I can't set my enemy in flesh and blood. Dear God, I cannot become bitter at my circumstance. That's Satan weighing himself against me. He's convinced me of his truth. He's told me 1,000 things. This is the way they feel about you. This is what's true about you. This is who you are. This is who you'll always be. I cannot afford to doubt. I cannot. I must take that higher ground. I've got to take that higher ground. Just a moment, she's going to be in the same. But I do believe this morning, saints, that God the Holy Ghost is weighing in this service. He's speaking to hearts and lives across this room. I challenge you to be very sensitive for your own sake here this morning. Let God speak to your heart. I want you to be very sensitive this morning to God Almighty as He'd speak in this place. The enemy would weigh himself against you. He'd cause you to set up idols in your heart so that you'll see things in life through that idol. Talked about that in the Old Testament. I'm going to answer them according to their idol. They've set it up in their heart. Now that idol has become the truth. That idol of bitterness and resentment, disrespect, all of that has been set up in that heart. You become envious, doubtful, bitter, whatever the case may be. Satan has weighed against you, made a choice. You accepted his truth rather than God's. That terrible time brought about a decision, and you made it in the wrong direction. Saints, you and I cannot afford to doubt God. We cannot let something get down in the crawl of our spirit. You cannot allow anything to separate you from the willingness and the obedience to see God. Once anything Satan can penetrate you in our spirit, to get it into our spirit, then we're going to have to deal with that no matter how God is dealing with us. Everything's going to come filtered through that channel because it's in our spirit. You cannot afford to allow Satan's devices to affect you that far. I'm going to go ahead and serve God. I remember several years ago, and I've shared this with you. I remember an evangelist to India, Brother David. I forgot his last name. But India, long time. He assisted another great evangelist to India, Mark Buntain. And he said, I'd preached all over. He said, I'd married late in life. My wife would go with me. We'd preach. You could go into India. And he said it was just an awful place. He said there was food to buy, but he said you couldn't buy the food if you didn't have any money. Most people didn't have any money. He said, I remember looking out my window one time, and there was a concrete culvert out there. And he said, I saw a little boy, had a little scrap of food. And he'd take little hunks of food off and put it in his sister's mouth. And he'd feed her until she finally shook her head that she had enough. And then he'd feed himself. So it just broke my heart. Many, many things would break my heart. He said, one morning I got up. And he said, I went to the door. And he said, someone in the middle of the night had brought a baby in a basket and laid it down at the step of the missionary's house. And he said, but the dogs in the night had reached that baby before I did. And they had ravaged that baby and killed it. He said, a stone set up in my heart. He said, for 2 years I preached the gospel. I went here and there preaching the gospel. I was an evangelist. I preached about missions. 2 years, I had a stone in my heart. It seized a hold of me. He said, it was nearing Christmas time. And he says, I was walking down the street. We were headed to a service, a poor church, a poor young pastor and his wife. They had a little boy. So we were going to preach that service. It was Christmas time. People just didn't have to have anything to eat. It was very impoverished. He said, I walked by in front of a store, and in that store window was a tricycle. And he said, I looked at my wife, and he said, I'm going to buy their boy that tricycle. She said, oh, David, don't do that. They need food more than that boy needs a tricycle. He said, nevertheless, I'm going to buy that boy that tricycle. He said, I preached in that service that night. He said, we need to go over to y'all's house. He said, we need to go to your house. So they come over to the house. And when David and his wife walked in, he come pushing that tricycle in. That little boy come out of the bedroom squealing to the top of his lungs. Mama, Mama, God has given me my tricycle. Mother began to cry. Well, David's wife was embarrassed. Said, I told him he shouldn't do it. Y'all needed food more than you needed. She said, no, no, you don't understand. Said, I believe it was for about 3 days that boy had a raging fever. He said, there on his bed, I come to the foot of his bed and said, Mama, God came and stood at the foot of my bed and he said, I'm going to give you a tricycle. And said, when you come wheeling in that through that front door, oh my God, he said, when I heard that, he said, that stone in my heart broke into 1,000 pieces. And he said, God spoke to me, David, you thought I didn't care about those children. I care about those children. But I'm using men, not angels. Oh my God. Hear me, saints. You and I cannot afford to doubt. You can't afford to let anything ravage your spirit. You can't afford to let anything sink through your natural life, get down into your spirit until you're tainted. You've got to possess that higher ground. You've got to walk on that higher ground. At the end of that battle, you've got to possess that high ground. Saints, that battle's not over until you get that high ground. You can't accept any position less than that. The enemy will speak to you from a position of authority. He will own that high ground. He's going to attack you, and through you, he's going to attack others. You hear me, saints? You'll set yourself up as an adversary in other people's life because he set himself up as an adversary in your own. At the end of that battle, you must possess that high ground, saint. God has called you. He's empowered you. He has anointed you. He's given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's more with us than be with them. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Saints, at the conclusion of your battle, possess the high ground. You cannot afford to doubt. As she begins to sing, I want you to come and stand in this altar. Lift your hands across this place. We're going to seek him along this line. My God, let God strengthen you this morning. Let him build a holy resolve in you that says, I will own the high ground at the end of the day. Great God Almighty. I'm going to possess higher ground. In your life, you've set up an armistice with the adversary and declared neutrality on any ground in your life. Know that Satan owns that ground. You're not agreeing on an armistice. Satan owns that ground. He'll do it by any means necessary. Oh, hallelujah. If you have any area in your life that you allow the enemy to gain any preeminence, any position of authority, if he can funnel to you anything that deteriorates faith, sees his high ground in your life, and you've set up a place to believe his truth, then church, you've got to go back there and declare an open warfare against him. You're going to have to seize that high ground. He'll try to convince you that I won't bother you there anymore. We'll just agree to disagree here. We'll just share this there. You don't take it, and I won't take it. We'll call this neutral ground. I won't bother you. You don't bother me. Oh, no. No, no, saints. If you don't own that higher ground, he owns it. And no in between. If God inside of you, you hadn't let the God inside of you declare ownership on that ground, Satan has. And he claims rights to it. And it's upon that ground that is neutral in your mind, but is secured by him, that he has come to filter himself into your life. It is by that means. You've got to go back there and declare open warfare on that ground. Satan, I'm not ignorant of what you're doing. I know where you're desiring to come in at me, and I have allowed you to obtain a position of authority in my life. You're not getting that anymore. I'm going to tear that down. Now, the battle is going to be hotter than it was last time because he has a higher position there. Saints, realize you're going to have to take that anyhow. Amen. God inside of you will make that which appears to be impossible absolutely possible. David said, shall I go up as before? No, you wait till you hear the going in the mulberry trees. They said, he's a God of the valley. We're going to show him the God of the mountain. He's not just God one place. He's God every place. Come on, church. Amen. You may have been able to say, God, I could have defeated him easier when we were in the valley together. Now he's on the mountain. I'm in the valley. Well, the way you hear the going in the mulberry trees. Come on, saints. Oh, hallelujah. You declare, I'm coming after that. I'm coming after that. I'm not allowing you any territory in my life. The church, any place you just said, God, this is bigger than I am. I can't do this anymore. Too big for me. Lord God, I'm not strong enough to deal with this. Saints, all you've done is accept Satan's truth, not God's. For in God, through you, there is nothing impossible. There's nothing too great for you. God, I've been placed in a situation where you said you'd put no more of me on me than I can bear, but I'm in such a place. Saints, in such a time, you take yourself down to the potter's house. He'll make in you a new vessel, giving you the ability to do what you couldn't do otherwise. Oh, great God Almighty, but at the end of the day, in every sphere, all the way down the seaboard, you've got to own that higher ground. If you don't, you declare warfare against the enemy, and you don't stop fighting until you obtain it, because you cannot afford to doubt. Oh, my God, sing it again. Hallelujah. God intends for you to own that high ground, church. You're the victor, not the victim. God will make you the head, not the tail. Oh, my God. Final outcome is owned by the church. You've got the keys. Don't give them to hell. Oh, great God Almighty.
I'm Till my victory.